Okay, so yesterday we went through the Psukim, and we noted that it's very unclear whether Le'ochla should be taken in any way as a positive commandment, or rather a derivative, right, a heter, a derivative of. The Pasuk in Mishpatim does seem to be more actively Le'achila, except it's focusing on the poor, so it's not really clear. Is it a mitzvah for the poor to eat? Does it indicate a mitzvah of eating? That seems less than likely. In the read, it seems more likely that it's a mitzvah for you to enable the poor to eat, which is more, has to do with more with your relinquishing of ownership and things like that. However, we saw in the Ramban, he does seem to connect the two in terms of understanding. Yep. So we move to the Ramban, because we said the Ramban is the person who might hold that there is a positive mitzvah to eat perot shviit. Might. Which is problematic in many ways. But nevertheless, we saw that there were some who took it that way. So who did we see who definitely understood the Ramban that way? Right? Who understood the Ramban despite all the complexity and all the problems? As saying that there is a mitzvah, an active mitzvah to eat. The Ma'ariv al-Ghazi. Very good. The Ma'ariv al-Ghazi. And what was the nafkamina that he said, right? What's the nafkamina for him as to whether there's an actual mitzvah achila or not?
Not if you need to have a kazayit.
Yeah, if you need to have a kazayit. Right? Now, if you look at the Ziv Hayam has a discussion about this, and he says, like, it's very problematic because there should be another nafkamina, which nobody seems to hold that there is, which is bracha. Right, nobody holds as a bracha. Right, no one seems to have any evidence of a bracha. Right, so that should have been another, you know, theoretically, if you really thought it was a positive mitzvah that you're supposed to eat, you're supposed to go out and have that kedusha shviat banana, or whatever. I actually was wondering this morning. Did you notice? I think we actually have kedusha shviat fruit growing in the yard here now,
yeah.
Right? Because those
the berries are shviat.
Well, fruit go by chanata. Right, but those fruit I think actually might totally have right the ones over there, right, like in the back, right. I want to look at them and figure out what they are, and whether you can eat them. But if they are, they're kedusha shviat.
You can't eat them. The purple ones are edible. People were eating them.
What about the big red one? You see what I'm talking about?
Because they got the purple.
Like this big.
Yeah. They turn purple.
Oh, because I saw green and red, like reddish.
Like
it gets darker.
Orange.
Yeah, it gets darker.
And then it gets to purple.
Ah, so you have to wait, because if it is kedusha shviat, you can't eat it while it's not ripe.
Yeah.
Right? You can't eat pagan. Remember, we saw that yesterday. You can't eat pagan. Right? No, well, if you want to figure out what that is and whether it's edible yet and whether it's ripe, because if it in fact, but, you know, this now is around the time when you would expect the very, very, very beginning of kedusha shviat fruit. So that may be kedusha shviat. So they're nice. Which also means you better eat it properly, you know, and not throw it out and stuff like that, because, you know, kedusha shviat. So the Ma'ariv al-Ghazi really does think it's a mitzvah. The Megillat Esther thought that the Ramban thought that it was a mitzvah, right? He obviously doesn't. He says, well, that's problematic for a million reasons, right? The Ramban counts eating as a mitzvah, but as we noted when we read the Ramban, it's very unclear what he means by mitzvah. Does he really mean there's an active mitzvah to eat? Remember, right, he never says it quite that way, right? Right, and so the Ma'ariv al-Ghazi, Megillat Esther, they assume that the Ramban means that it's really a mitzvah, right? Like an active mitzvah to eat. Now, the difference is the Megillat Esther thinks that the Ramban thinks that it's an active mitzvah to eat, but he disagrees. The Ma'ariv al-Ghazi, the Zohar Rakia, right, they actually think that the Ramban thinks that it's a mitzvah to actively eat, and they agree, right? And that's why the Ma'ariv al-Ghazi says you have to eat it because I eat, right? The mitzvah is because I eat. They all say. All three of them agree that the Ramban thinks that it's a mitzvah to eat. The Ma'ariv al-Ghazi and the Zohar Rakia seem to agree with that read of the Ramban. Megillat Esther ascribes that view to the Ramban, but himself disagrees and follows the Rambam, right? Right, because remember, if you're keeping score again, right, it's that the Rambam writes the same for mitzvah to attack the Bahag, the Ramban defends the Pahag from the Rambam, and the Megillat Esther defends the Rambam from the Ramban, right? So the Megillat Esther thinks that the Ramban thinks that it's a mitzvah to actively eat, but he disagrees and he defends the Rambam, right? Okay, fine. Though, what we were beginning to see yesterday is that not only do you have the people like the Megillat Esther who think the Ramban thinks it's a mitzvah, but he's wrong because it's problematic, but several people note that, A, conceptually, saying that it's an active mitzvah seems to be very unlikely for all the reasons that we listed. And B, they note that linguistically, the Ramban doesn't seem to quite say it's an active mitzvah to eat because, right, he says it's a mitzvah to eat by which it's a mitzvah not to do schora, right, which sounds more like it's a mitzvah to treat peratriot properly, meaning to not do schora with them. It's a mitzvah ase, right, not a lot ase, but if it's an ase to treat it properly and to not use it as merchandise, right, and rather to use it for proper purposes like eating, right, which is not quite saying it's a mitzvah to eat, it's a mitzvah to use it for the right things, which probably means eating, but might not mean eating, right, or to whatever, something along those lines. And we already saw yesterday the Chazon Ish takes this direction, right? Now, who is the Chazon Ish, right? We should have done bio yesterday, but who is the Chazon Ish? I'm sure you've heard of the Chazon Ish because he's one of the most famous posts from the 20th century. Zach, who is the Chazon Ish?
The
Chazon is... His name is, by the way, on the sheet. Ish stands for... Aleph is Avram. Yud is... Yeshayahu. Correct. So the Chazon Ish is Avram Yeshayah, right? The first letter from his first name and the first two letters from his middle name, right? Karelitz, right? He was born in Europe, right? And he moved to Bnei Brak, correct? And he became the leader, essentially, of Israeli Haredi Judaism. He was the one who helped basically construct the status. So he was one of the people who sort of founded the Haredi lifestyle in Israel by forming the status quo agreement with Ben Gurion, which led to the patur or the exemption of Yeshiva Bachrim from the army and the control of marriage by the Rabbanut, right? Legal marriage is only under religious auspices in Israel, right? Part of that was Chazon Ish's early deals with the Ben Gurion. No, he hated the Brisker method of study. Correct. He hated the Brisker method of study and wrote a critique of Reb Chaim. Some Svarim of Reb Chaim al Rambam have the Chazon Ish's critiques in the back. But yeah, and he lived in Bnei Brak. Right, so if you remember what we saw yesterday, is he says it can't be, right? So if you just look back, what he says is, like we said yesterday, that the prohibition of doing business with Peret Shviat is a mitzvah aseh. Now you'll tell me, what does that mean it's a mitzvah aseh? That sounds like a lot aseh to me, right? Don't do business, last I checked, sounds like a don't and not a do, right? So that's why you'd have to say what it means is no, it's treat Peret Shviat in a non-merchandise way, right? That's the, right? You have to reconfigure it, which I know it's semantics at this point, but that does seem to be what the Chazon Ish is saying. But you're right, the Chazon Ish is not 100% clear. We saw the Sweet Age also pushes back, but the one who I think most systematically addresses it is the Shevet HaLevi. It happened to be, I was looking at Shevet HaLevi yesterday, and then my neighbor, who is writing a Smicha curriculum on Shemitah, sent me these same three paragraphs from Rav Vosner and says, hey, I was reading this piece in Rav Vosner, and he made me think of our conversation on Shabbos. I said, hey, I just read it this morning also, right? And, you know, I really sat down with it. I think Rav Vosner is a very careful reader here. So if you turn to Rav Vosner, so who's Rav Vosner? Shmuel Levi Vosner, the Shevet HaLevi. Who is he? I mean, he died like 2 years ago, something like that. I mean, he was a posek for a long time. He lived for a... Yeah, Shmuel Wozner, it's with a W in English, right? Wozner. He's born... Right, I mean, it's fair to say he was a posek in the 20th century, but that's only because he lived, according to this, for 102 years, because he was born in 1913 and he died in 2015, so I guess a little bit more, 6 years ago. He lived a very long life, so he was a posek... He was a pre-World War... He was born pre-World War I, You know, so he was a posek presumably by World War II, by the establishment of the state, right? Da, 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 da. And he still lived 15 years into this century, so you know. Yes, so he was the a leading posek in also B'nai Brak. Yeah, so Vosner and his tshuva. Let's look at it because he does really a very careful read of the Ramban. So analysis of the Ramban. Okay, got it. Got Rav Vosner. So he says right. So just for guys who are trying to figure out Rosh Tevot, I assume you got this one already. But Vav Nun Lamed Ayin Nun Dalid is V'nir'eh Lefi Aniyut Da'ati. It seems to my paltry intelligence. Okay. Lohusif Beyur. I want to add. Divadai lo mistaber derech hasovrim bishitat haramban kipashtud baal megilat ester shab. It does not make any sense to understand the Ramban the way the Megillat Esther understood him. Disfir le Ramban digam mitzvah asay dachila mamash bekum baasei. Who thinks that there's a positive mitzvah to get up and go eat Shemitah produce, kishar mitzvah dachila shebetara. Yes, Ellie. Yeah, you have it? Yeah, you have it, right? He says, that makes no sense. Who does he bring as support that it makes no sense? The Chazon Ish. Kilashon marana Chazon Ish v'yid yudal she'en in kishlamim she mitzvah b'achilatan. Right? It's not like a korban that you're mitzvah to eat, a shlamim. Amnam le'idach gisa. But then he says, on the other hand, ein levatel avana zubidah ramban kasher ratzol amar Chazon Ish sham de'en ha-mitzvah chiyuv v'klal. Right? But he says, the Chazon Ish also makes no sense. He said, the Chazon Ish's read is terrible. Why is the Chazon Ish's read terrible? Why does he disagree with the Chazon Ish's read of the Ramban? Right? Because remember, what do we say the problem with the Chazon Ish? The Chazon Ish says that according to the Ramban, there's no mitzvah to say. It's just, all he means by a mitzvah to say is that you shouldn't use it as business, as merchandise. What's the problem? That's what he says. That would make it a lota say. I mean, we said that maybe what the Chazon Ish means is that there's a mitzvah to treat it properly, which means not to treat it as merchandise, and to therefore, you're allowed to eat it. I mean, but Chazon Ish seems to have gone a bit far. Again, if the Chazon Ish just says the Ramban is wrong, that's fine. But the Chazon Ish claims that that's a plausible read within the Ramban, right? And Rav Vosner says, Ma pitom. The Ramban counts it as a mitzvah asay, saying, by mitzvah asay, we mean it's usher to treat it as merchandise. I mean, you can play with those words. I mean, right, that's like saying "don't kill" is really a positive mitzvah that you should preserve human life by but only in a specific manifestation of not killing. I mean, like, come on, right? At some point, words mean nothing, right? I mean, like, you can say whatever you want. I mean, you could go farther, right? This is Nachum Leibovitz's old point, is that like you could really, if you don't have like loyalty to the text, you can make anything say anything, right? She's like, if you wanted to, you could read the Esaret HaDibrot as rhetorical questions, right? Right? What? Don't kill? Don't steal? I mean, you could, but that's not what it means. I mean, right, obviously, right? Of course you should. I mean, like, right, that's not what it means, right? I shouldn't do, you shouldn't commit adultery? I mean, like, You can always do whatever you want to text, but at some point text, right, at some point, right, exactly. I mean, at some point plausibility, right, plausibility needs to mean something, right? Text means something, right? And I mean, it's not as bad as that, but still saying that the mitzvah is the same as saying don't do business. It's like, I mean, okay. I mean, like, but there must be a meaning to the words. Right? So Rav Vosner tries to do it. So what does he say? Right? The ain kan mitzvah chiyuvi klal v'ramban chashva rak b'tor mitzvah shlilit shel v'lo l'schora. Right? Because the Chazon Ish basically says it's a negation of don't do it as business. He says, aval ein sad chiyuvi shel v'achla v'ain kan klal srach mitzvah. Lo emir ramban el yisra schor bin yazin. He said, simple pshat in the Chazon Ish is that he's made it into a lav. Right? Into a prohibition. Don't do business with it. Which would be great if the Ramban put it in the Shichichat HaLavin, right? The prohibitions that the Ramban forgot. He didn't. He put it in the Shichichat HaAsin, right? It's not like he did that for a reason, right? So, therefore, Rav Eisner tries it himself, and he says, "Aval asiba shehagaon migalat Esther lo hivin kein." Your ed, whom you mashakad of Ramban, v'nichvel azo mitzvah b'amro yitalev achlu evyone amecha. Shlom arle evyone amecha tazov otam. Ka'am ru belektiv shicha, aval lashon achila mazgir behem ledu b'chol makom. Right, he says, the Megillat Esther, right, we said already in the Ramban, what was weird about the Ramban? The Ramban is two proof texts. One is the Psukim in Vayikra, right? And the other is that somehow it connects the Psukim in Vayikra to the Psukim in Mishpatim, right? And we said, it's a little bit weird, but the Ramban really does seem to think that the Psukim in Mishpatim that say V'achlu et Yonei Amecha, which does sound to be positive, sheds light on Le'ochla in Bahar, right? We noted that in the Ramban, right? So he said, well, I understand why. He said, as weird as the Ramban is, what did the Megillat Esther do? What was the Megillat Esther picking up on in the Ramban? He was picking up on that phrase where it's clear that the Ramban does want you to think about it positively. That's why he invokes the Pasuk in Mishpatim, as weird as it is, right? Where it's clearly Ve'ochlu, right? They should eat, right? Meaning, the reason the Megillat Esther thinks that the Ramban thinks it's positive, besides for it counting as a positive, is that his proof texts, again, you have to pay attention to words, right? The point is the Chazon Ish just says, he doesn't mean anything he says, essentially, right? But the Rav Eisner says, Mapital, right? He quotes a pasuk, and he says, it's a positive commandment. How do I know it's a positive commandment? Because the words in both Behar and in Mishpatim are phrased as positive commandments. You know, words mean something, right? I mean, this is crazy, I know. Words mean something, right? So he says, V'hineo ses chorabem over basei adkan. And he said, and therefore, according to Ramban, if you do business with Perot Shviit, so do you violate a law or an asay? What does the Ramban say very clearly? An asay, right? It's an asay. So you need a good positive formulation, not a negative formulation, not a prohibition. If he wanted to be a prohibition, he would call it that. Hadgashato shel Ramban. I want you to appreciate here what it means to be a careful reader, right? Because he's, again, there's a conceptual problem with the Ramban, but you can't solve it by ignoring the Ramban. You can say it's so problematic I disagree, right? But you can say it's so problematic that you never said it unless you have a plausible read of what he said that works with his words, right? Right? I want you to remember, okay, this is an important methodological point. There are always two things you're trying to do in Torah, right? Well, yes, right? But also, right, you always want to understand things textually and conceptually. That means you also are always trying to figure out, when you're reading any shita, two things. One is, what are they saying? And the second is, what is what they're saying plausible, right? Right? That's important, right? Meaning, you can't just say, I don't think it's plausible, and therefore you didn't say it. You can say, I'm going to try to understand what you're saying as best as I can, and if after my best attempt at understanding what you're saying, I still don't agree, right? Or whatever. So, fine. Okay, but you need to come up with some construction. Or you could say it's archeon. You can say that, which I don't really know, right? But Rav Eisner is at least trying. So what does he say? So he says, Umash gadamag mazkir bohem b'chol makom lashon achila morad yesh inyan achila b'chiyuv. One second. Something's off on this. One second. Let me see if I have better text here. Oh yeah, that's okay. That makes sense. That should be low. That really came out badly. Low rock hashli li shel velo l'schara. Right? There is a positive command. The fact that the pasuk uses the word over and over tells you that there is not just a negation but a positive. Umadesiim ramban v'ne oses schora b'hem over ba'asei. And it's clear, right? At the end of the day, what does the Ramban say? That if you do business with it, you violate an asay, not a lotase. Ratzalomer, she said, Totsa'a, it's a result of, an implication of, Mibitul Chavana Adar Leva'er Kober Jvit Bishvit, Ibaidem Adar Chachila, Ibaidem Adar Chandot, Haperot Amutarot Kol Echad Lefishahu. Right, the Ramban says that if you do business, it is a bitul of the asei to treat fruit in the right way. Okay, so now he says, so what? Therefore, isn't it the nasei biur v'achila b'shvi'at atzma kigeder asheni shal achilat kachim al piyei yedua mashikatav v'chatam sofer orchaim simin memteder shargdoli acharonim ve'artiv heitev b'shut shevet halevi simin lamedvav. So he says, in order to understand it, you need to understand this is a very classic Shita on the Acharonim. Okay? And I'll explain it outside, then we'll read it inside. The Acharonim note that there are two types of mitzvah achila. I mentioned this briefly yesterday, but let me spell it out. One is a mitzvah on the gavra to eat, to do a ma'asa achila, to do an act of eating. Whenever that's the case, what's the mitzvah? How much do you have to eat? Kazayit. Right? But there are certain cases where it's clear that's not what it is. So, for example, right, in most karbanot, right, karban Pesach, you have to eat a kezayit, right? But other karbanot, right, what's the mitzvah by shlamim? It has to be eaten, right? Right, so sometimes, so the achronim say, sometimes there are things with mitzvah achila, and sometimes there's a mitzvah to ensure that something is eaten, right? It inheres in the object rather than the person, right? You are obligated to ensure that that this is eaten, right? So, right, and he says, "Ikashteg darim b'achila kachim." Right, there are two aspects to the eating of kachim. Chada mitzvah achila pshuta demitkayim bekezayit. Right, one is achila kachim, eating, meaning with a kezayit, dafka. The other is to ensure that it is eaten. And that can be accomplished with less than a gezayit. Right? Right? What's the formulation there? By karbanot, it's ensure that it is eaten so that it doesn't end up being notar. Right? What's notar? Or nosar, if you want Ashkenazis? Right? Leftovers. Right? So like by karban Pesach, you have both. Right? At one level, the mitzvah is to eat a kezayit, but the other is to make sure that it doesn't end up as nosar, which means make sure it is eaten. Right? V'hinei mishalo achlan kulan afil kvar achal kezayit lo anotubo var avar elo bitel mitzvah se dachila de te achel. Right? Or de tochal, whatever. He's reading it passively. Right? And therefore, let's say Karban Pesach, you ate a kezayit, but you left the rest to rot. Right? Or become nosar. It's a problem. You were mekayim the mitzvah of achila. Yeah. Right? This is the last paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? He says, by Shemitah, what? So by Shemitah, he says, right, by Karbanot, he says, there might be both. But by Shemitah, what is there? No, not either. There's one mitzvah to ensure that it is eaten.
But is there anything else that we have that? Or is he making this new category? Look,
by karbanot. So
that's exactly. Only have, that they can be, they only have a subcategory.
So karban Pesach is both, presumably.
No, but the rest of the karbanos don't have to have a kesayis.
No, better. Right? It's that they must be eaten. Right? That's what the achronim, those are the achronim he's quoting. Exactly. Right? And therefore he says, Chumoche nocha b'shviyat, right? Therefore he says, said the Ramban, why does he count it as a say? Because it is an assay. Not an assay in the way that the Marnel Ghazi said, which is a ma'ase achila, which would require kezayit and maybe need a bracha, whatever. Right? What is there? It's a mitzvah to ensure that it is eaten or derivatives of eaten, right? We're going to have to come back to that, right? Because as we know, right? Well,
properly
yes.
Consumed.
Properly consumed, correct. And is it, right, is like burning it. Remember, we already saw this a little bit in the Hanukkah sugya. But is it that burning is a derivative of eating,
or if it's separate,
right? Or is it, or is it another avenue of proper consumption? So let's call it consumption for now, okay. Right? But it's properly consumed. Aval yishchiv le'achol v'ayir bismano, va'uzes sora, and therefore he says, right, this is the proper formulation. The reason that it's usher to do business is because by doing business, what are you doing? you are now ensuring that it is not eaten in the proper context, meaning, because the mitzvah eat it as hefker, as shmita produce. The second you do business with it, right, you're not treating it as, eating it as hefker, right, as shmita, you're treating it as a commodity, which it's not, right? You're not allowed to, right? So therefore, what does he say? Right, let's just, right, what's the benefit of, right, what Rav Osner does?
He makes it so that, like, it works with the psukim.
So first of all, it works with, well, right, his immediate goal is to work with the Ramban, right? Yeah. Is that it works with the Ramban, meaning it's a positive mitzvah, but it solves the problem. What problems does it solve?
All the ones of that. Actually, one with Shmos and Vayikra, where it's, in Shmos it seems like it's as if it's a mitzvah for it to be eaten. And in Vayikra, it just seems that it's amazing.
Correct. Right, so he doesn't really spell this out, but I think what Mordechai is saying is very smart, right? He doesn't quite spell this out, but what it does is, right, we asked, how can the Ramban, again, he doesn't say this, but I think you're right. One of the major questions of the Ramban is, how can he bring proof from Mishpatim? Mishpatim doesn't say you have to eat it. What does it say? Make sure that the poor eat it. How is that a mitzvah asay? So if you think that it's a mitzvah to eat it, so you can't have a mitzvah to make sure that someone else eats. And that, what is that? But if you think, no, the mitzvah is that Shemitah produce should be properly eaten or properly consumed, so then can you borrow from Mishpatim to shed light on Bahar? Yeah. Yes, because what is it saying? If you give it to the poor, right, you don't express ownership on it, but you allow the poor to eat it and ensure that they can eat it, so what are you doing? You're ensuring that Shemitah produce is eaten properly, not as a commodity, not as that which is owned, but as that which is related to a Shemitah, right? Right, what we're going to see later is that there is this possibility in the Masechta that an overarching theme in Shemitah is that there's a mitzvah to not act as a bailiff, right? There's a mitzvah not to act as an owner, right? This is, I think, one of those expressions, not directly, right? But, right, according to this, it solves the psukim problem, right? It solves the Ramban why he thinks it's an assay, even though in many ways it expresses itself in negatives, right? It's to ensure that the food is eaten as Shemitah produce, meaning as non-commodified hefker produce, properly consumed within the framework of hefker, within the framework of Shemitah, right? And therefore, for him, if you eat the produce, what are you mekayim? Now let's just finalize it. So if you eat it, correct, exactly, right? You are partaking of the mitzvah of ensuring that it is properly consumed, right? And therefore, there is a certain mitzvah to eat, but not in the sense that you have to personally eat it. And therefore, it makes sense, as the Zivayam says, right? Why is there no bracha? Because of course there's no bracha. There's no ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, right? Eating isn't a ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. Exactly, right? It's about achieving a result or having an attitude, expressing a perspective, right? However you want, right? We'll see more manifestations of this. Well, maybe, but that's Mordechai's share for this week, so. Or next time, I don't remember. Is this year? What? We still have like 35 minutes. What? No, Mordechai is definitely this week, but he has multiple shiurim he's giving. I don't know which one he's giving. I think he might be giving this question, though. Right? Is there a mitzvah belief in that sense? Right? Right? I mean, you guys did something a little bit similar, right? If you remember, at the beginning of the year, Chaim Ozer gave shiurim puruvu, right? The Minchas Chinuch shiurim puruvu. That according to Minchas Chinuch, there is no ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to, right? There's no act, right? It's not the sexual act, which is the mitzvah puruvu, it's the act of having children, right? Right now, obviously, in order to do that, you have to go through certain actions, right? But the mitzvah is the result, right? So he's saying something like that. I mean, a little bit different, but there's definitely a certain parallelism to that shita. Okay, so again, I think the advantages of Rav Osner, I think it's the most, to me, it's the most plausible read of the Ramban, because the Ramban is really odd, right? But you know, you need to do something with the Ramban, right? Correct. All right, and the Maharal Ghazi says it and agrees, as the Zohar Rakia, right? Right, well, that's what I'm putting in the Chazon Ish, but the point of the Rav Vosner is that the Chazon Ish doesn't quite spell that out, which is why the Chazon Ish himself seems to be, right? Meaning the Chazon Ish, you have to sort of read that into the Chazon Ish. What the Chazon Ish actually says is, according to the Ramban, there's no mitzvah asay, there's just a prohibition to treat it as merchandise. Now, the obvious problem is that it's an asay, not a lot asay, and therefore I tried to defend the Chazon Ish by saying something like it's a mitzvah of treat it properly, right, as not merchandise or something. But a more plausible read is what Rav Vosner says, which is narrow. Correct, right? And therefore, sure, eaten properly, in the proper context, with the proper framework, with the proper perspective, right? And therefore, there's no mitzvah eat as a kazai, you don't make a bracha, da da da. But, and that's why he can borrow from Mishpatim, because ensuring that the poor can eat is part of that, of ensuring it is eaten properly, right?
I mean, if you're saying that it's an actual mitzvah, right, to consume it, that doesn't
ensure that it is consumed.
No. I'm saying in the
Maharal Ghazi, fine, yeah.
Why does that require there to be a kazai? Because other ways you consume it, there's no shear. Because
he thinks it's a mitzvah to eat it.
But then you can.
Still
works.
Right, but because according to the Maharal Ghazi, what question are you going to have? You tell me right away. Besides all the questions we raised in the Maharal Ghazi, according to Maharal Ghazi, you're going to have a big problem, which is
the other ways of consuming
that are mutter, right? According to Rav Vosner, within the Ramban, there's an easy answer, which is it's not a mitzvah to eat. It's ensure that it's
somehow
consumed properly. So, yeah. But therefore, there's no shir kezayah, there's no masa achila. So, if we say that hadlaka is mutter, so hadlaka is mutter. According to Maharal Ghazi, you're going to have to say, okay, but wait a second. You just said it's a masa achila, right? Therefore, it's kezayah, so why can I burn it? Right, meaning
the kazayas when you burn it.
Right, what are you going to say? Right, you're going to say, "Oh, well, burning it." You're either going to have to say it's a separate heter, and what? It's a heter, but not a mitzvah, right? Or you're going to have to say, "No, it is a mitzvah, but it's counted as eating." But then you're going to have to say, "When I light my candles, it has to be at least a kazayas or a vias or of." I don't know what you're going to say, right? Meaning, like that's. Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, as you guys know, how many of you did oil, right? Oil chat, right? So, like, that's not a revius, right? Normally, if it's shtia, it's something like derivative of shtia, right? Like, you'd have to say, every time I light a candle, I have to start it off with, this much oil. And we forget Hanukkah candles, but you wouldn't be allowed to have a little flame. I mean, like, right, you really got to figure out, according to Maharal Ghazi, what we're doing. Fine. Let's see one more shita within this, and then I want to suggest one more direction as a possibility. Okay. So look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So who's Rav Chaim Kanievsky? The Sar HaToyre. Remember? The Sar HaToyre. He is a leading Talmud Chacham in the Haredi world. What? Kanievsky?
Yeah.
Kuf Nun Yud Yud Vet Samach Kuf Yud. The Sar HaToyre is the...
It's on the sheet.
It's on the sheet, yeah. Okay, I don't want to talk about it. Sar HaTorah, he is called the Sar HaTorah because he's like, 100 years old or something. Maybe more, 101, Masha?
He was born in 1928.
Oh, no. Oh, I thought he was much older. Okay, he's only in his 90s.
Rav
Chaim Kanievsky.
He's only in his mid-90s.
So he's written a lot of amazing svarim. Among them is Derech Emunah. I can't believe this is the first time we're looking at this here. That's a little bit crazy. I think I quoted outside a few times.
Yeah,
but the Derech Emunah is basically he wrote a Mishnah Berurah style work on Kachim Tarot Zrayim on the Rambam. Okay? Right? So essentially wrote a Mishnah Berurah on the parts of Halacha that no one reads. And since there is no Shulchan Aruch on it, he wrote it on the Rambam. So as you can see, just like the Mishnah Berurah, you have the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha. So he has the Derech Emunah and the Ber Halacha. So he writes, Nitnu la'achila, see on the right hand side, Nitnu la'achila, dichtiv lachem la'achla, ushtia bechlal achila, vesicha bechlal shtia. So he says, Yesh omrem, she yesh mitzvah bechila per tzviit. Some say there's a mitzvah to eat fruit of Shemitah. Aval dara chazonesh she'ein mitzvah la'achlan. But the chazonesh says no, that nobody holds it is. Right? Ve'ein chayv levakish le'en ochlan. Ve'ein esher la'ani chanchir gubba me'atzman. And therefore, you don't have to eat it. You can let it rot by itself as long as you don't do something actively. Ve'asher la'achlan achila gasa she'en aklal de'ev de'ev said, you can't eat it. You can't stuff yourself because then it's not achila. Okay, fine. But look at the bare halacha. So in the, here he just quotes the Shita, right? But look on the left-hand side. So like I said, like the Mishnah Brura, right? He has the Derech Emunah, okay, right? If you think of the Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura is mostly a compendium of Shitot, right? Of the Shitot of the Achronim, right? But then when he does the analysis in the Ber Halacha, so the Derech Emunah is the same way. So that's his compendium. But now look at the Ber Halacha, which is his explanation of the Sugya. So then he says, got it? Peretriut nil achila. Ayin b'derech Emunah. Shevinu dat maran. I brought maran. Who's maran? For Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who's Maran? Chazanesh. Right? Why is that Maran? Why is he Maran? Why is he? First of all, he's his Rebbe, but also he's Mishpacha. Right? Yes, how are they related? He's not a kid. The Chazanish had no kids. No, the Chazanish had no children. So he can't be his father-in-law because the Chazanish had no kids. Right? But, so Reb Chaim Kanievsky's father is Reb Yisrael, or Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, also known as the Stipler Gaon. Ever heard of the Stipler? So that's his father. Okay? And the Stipler was married to the Chazanish's sister. Right? Miriam Karelitz, right? So therefore, he is the nephew. The Stipler is the Chazanish's brother-in-law, okay. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky is his nephew,
right?
And then Reb Chaim Kanievsky married, who is his father-in-law? His father-in-law is also a big name in the Haredi world, but not the Chazanish. Reb Eliashiv. Okay?
He is very well.
Yes. Okay? So he quotes the Chazanish, Maran. And he says that the Chazanish writes that nobody holds. Okay, guys. He says the Chazanish, as we saw, thinks that nobody holds that there's a mitzvah achila. Right? Bekavanat Ramban, Rakshu lav abba michal aseh. Right? That it's just a lav which emerges from a zeisha lo yaseh shorah. V'chein kavanat Rashbats. And right, he thinks the same as in the Tajbates, right? In the Zohar Rakia, shall have sit over Basev El Chena Masa Per Tfiat Lokam Akad Maradun Midra Abonan Shabal Asay. Right, and therefore he thinks there's no Chiv to eat it. So look at the underlying part. V'nira D'gavei Shviat Afilim Ochlam Ein Mekayim Mitzvah Shere Lo Metzinu Bracha Bachila Per Tfiat. He says, according to the Chazon Ish, what does that mean? According to the Chazon Ish, that means even if you do eat it, is there any value to that? No. Right? There's no mitzvah at all. Right? Right? That's what Ziyot said the Chazon Ish. That's why there's no bracha, no kizayit, right? He says it's not like truma, it's not like anything. Right? So I'm skipping down here. Look at the right hand side, three lines down. She says, Mikol mako, mi pashtur advarim nirshay machilu per tviyat shum mitzvah. Right? That is, the simplest understanding is, in fact, there is no mitzvah to eat peretz tfiyah. He says, why is this different than Maaser Sheni, let's say? Don't they both say achila? Right? So what does he say? He says, well, by Maaser Sheni, what does it say? V'achalta lefnei Hashem. Eat before God. What does that sound like? Right. And by truma, it says, Avodat matana etenet kunatchem, right? It's called an avoda, right? An avoda is something you have to do, right? Avod b'peirot shvi loktiv elav v'hayta shavarat lochem lochla. It should be for eating. Hainu sh'atorat zivtam lahavkir kidei she'i lukulam lechol. It says b'mavkir et, and so what does lechol mean? It's a result of the mitzvah of hefkir, right? And that's what it means. When you say the poor should eat, it doesn't mean they should eat. It means you should let the poor eat because you have to be mafkir. Right? The mitzvah for him is to be, right, to be mafkir. right? And eating is just what comes out, right? Okay, right? So that's Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Now, I want to, so it's overall what we have is, what do we have? We have the Chazon Ish, according to everybody, right? But definitely within the Rambam, according to Megillat Esther, which is, there is no mitzvah to eat Peir Shviat at all, right? What's the mitzvah? To be mafkiret, to whatever. Eating is just the result. All the way to the other extreme, you have the Merid al Ghazi within the Ramban, which says, no, there's an active mitzvah to eat. Then you have this middle formulation of the Ravazner, which is, it's a mitzvah to ensure that it is eaten or consumed properly, right? In Hebrew or in English? English? W-O-S-N-E-R. Wozner in English. Yeah. So I want to suggest, here's what I want to throw out to you before I give you yet one more possibility from the Ruchim Fischel Perlow, but I want to give you a different possibility, which again, I'm not sold on. I'm not sold on, right? But I want to, I've been thinking through it, and I keep going back and forth whether there's, right? And here's another possibility, okay? So you guys did the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah, in the Shorash Hay? What's the Rambam's fifth rule? Remember we said, the Rambam sets out rules in his Shorashim for what counts as a mitzvah and what doesn't count as a mitzvah, right? So what's his fifth rule, Shorash Hay?
You don't count the rule of mitzvah as a mitzvah.
Correct. You don't count that?
The reason.
Correct. HaShorash HaMishi Shein Roi Limno Tam HaMitzvah Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. You don't count the reason for a mitzvah as a mitzvah in and of itself. The Rambam. Right? In five. Right? In Shoresh Hey, rather. Pa'amim yavo b'tam ha-mitzvah, dimyon lavin, v'yachshov b'hem, shehem b'chlal, mashim nabi yichud. So he says, for example, sometimes you will have mitzvah-sounding language, but it's not a mitzvah. So what's his first example? Remarrying, right? Machzir gushato, right? What's the halacha? Yeah, what is machzir gusha? And was remarried in between. Right? If someone gets divorced and wants to remarry his wife immediately, that's mutter. But if a woman, if someone divorces his wife and she remarries and then gets divorced or widowed from the second husband, so the halacha is, right? The pasuk says, lo yuchal ba'ala rishon ha-shishon chal la-shuv l'kachta. And then what is it, the pasuk say? V'lo tachati et haaretz. And you won't fill the land with sin. You won't impurify the land. Right? So he says, so corrupt the land, there's a good word. So the Rambam says, is don't corrupt the land in Yitzvah?
No.
The prohibition is don't remarry a wife that you divorced and was remarried in the interim. Right? The rationale is that if you do, it'll corrupt the land. Right? But right, that's an effect or rationale. But it's not the mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a separate mitzvah. Lo tachati et aretz. Right? So, I'll give you an example. Rabinovich makes a very big point of this Rambam to explain something else. So let me give you an example from him, okay? Everyone asks, why is it, right? Another case where you have a machloket Rambam Ramban about whether something counts as a mitzvah. This is probably the most famous. What is the most famous of the shechichat hamitzvot? Right, of all of them, I think, arguably, right? The Ramban has the most famous mitzvah that he says the Rambam forgot. Is mitzvah Dalid, the next mitzvah, which is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Israel. The Ramban counts it as mitzvah Shechacha Narav. Now, everyone wants to know, well, why does the Rambam not count living in Eretz Yisrael? Like, doesn't he think it's important? Right? So some people say, no, he really doesn't think it's important. Whatever. Or it's not a mitzvah chiyuvit, it's a mitzvah kiyumit, right? Like, if you do it, it's valuable, but you don't have to do it, right? Which is what Moshe Feinstein says. Good. So Rabinovich says, no, there's a very simple reason why the Rambam doesn't count mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because so many of the mitzvot clearly are aimed at Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and everything that it entails. All the mitzvot of Tluyud Va'aretz, Kibbutz, right? All the mitzvot of Bil Melchama, right? Like, whatever, right? All those mitzvot clearly are telling you that the rationale here is there's a value to living in Israel. And he says, so why did the Rambam not count it? It's the logic that animates many other mitzvot. But that's what we call a Tama mitzvah. right? And the Rambam's rule is there are many things, right? So I'll put it, right, to take the Rambam's own example. If I said to you, is it spiritually important, right, religiously important to not corrupt the land of Israel through, by marrying into forbidden relationships?
Yeah.
Obviously, right? So why is that not an isur? Lo tachadid aret. So what does he say? No, the avera is don't remarry your wife, right? Don't be machzer grusha, right? The avera is the result is that it creates a corruption of society, right? That and the reason we forbid, the Torah forbids these relationships is to keep a morally pristine society. But there's no prohibition, don't corrupt the moral pristine. There are specific actions, specific sexual prohibitions, right? That the net result would be they would corrupt society if people violated them. But that's the rationale. That's not the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. It's the reason behind, right? It's the emergent value of the mitzvah, right? So here's what I want to suggest. By suggest, I don't mean that I want to say this firmly, right? What I want to ask you, and I'm still not sure, is it plausible to say that achilat perot shvit is not a masa mitzvah, but is the tam ha-mitzvah, is the, that the purpose of Shemitah is that to enable eating or eating within a certain context, right? This is sort of a variation on, it's a variation, let's say, on Rav Osner, but explaining it not as a mitzvah to ensure that it's eaten, but as why it shouldn't be a mitzvah, right? To say that eating during Shemitah is not a mitzvah, it's the net result, it's the rationale towards which the mitzvot of Shemitah aim. And therefore, it doesn't count as a mitzvah, but it's super valuable, right? Right, that's what would be Yotze, right? Is this a plausible read of the Psukim or the Halacha? So, this is...
I think that the Pentecostal tradition would say that, yes, it is, but it's a tam,
right. So I think, right. So I think if you remember all the way back at our beginning shir, right, beginning of shirim, it's the rationales of Shemitah. I think it depends, right? If you think about, right, if you go back and you say, what's the rationale for Shemitah? And you say, it's to help the poor people, right? So then plausibly, this is right, right? Because one of the purposes of Shemitah, like all these rules are set in place to ensure that the poor have things to eat. But in a dignified way where they're not being given handouts, right? So therefore they eat like everybody else, right? The people who say the Talmud Mitzvah is to help the poor or to make sure that everybody feels equal. Remember we saw people like that? And therefore they eat, but not as owners, right? Or maybe even that you don't, right? If you take those reasons, I think a plausible argument could be made to say that achila isn't a masa mitzvah, but not because it's not valuable, but because in a certain sense, it is the value that animates the other mitzvah. Mitzad sheni, it's not glot, right? This is not smooth. Why not? Because we saw, if you think that, no, the main reason of Shemitah is so that you don't act as an owner, right? You focus on that side, right? You could frame it as, no, it's not really about eating. Eating is like one of the things you could do, right? Or if it's about the land resting, right? Like for the, right, the Rambam, so that the land rejuvenates its strength, right? So it's hard to say within that framework that it's like the Tam Mitzvah, right? Eating is just, you're allowed to eat, right? All I want to do right now is throw this out as a thesis, not a thesis, as a hypothesis, right, as a possible explanation. And what I want to do is, when we go through the sugyot, like what sugyot, where are we going to have to see, where would we test this hypothesis? I think you'd have to test it in, like, when we actually do the schora sugyot inside, and not just as the introduction, right? What is the nature of the isra schora, right? Right, when we say, right, lachla, the schora, blah, blah, right? So we have to say, okay, right? I think what we need to do is look at the how we understand it halachically and say, is it plausible to say that really the purpose is eating? It's not in the mitzvah, but that is the purpose. Or, right, no, is the purpose something else? Right? I think that's like where you're going to have to look for it. Right? I think there are certain indications in the sugya in favor of this hypothesis and certain indications in the sugya against this hypothesis. Right? But I want to throw it out as another model. Right? So again, to review what we've seen so far, is we have the people say it's not a mitzvah at all. It's just a result. Right? All the other extreme, we have the Maharal Ghazi within the Ramban, the Zoraki and the Ramban, that it's some positive mitzvah to go eat. You have Rav Buzner who says it's a mitzvah to ensure it's consumed properly. What I'm suggesting is that it's not a mitzvah, but not because it's not important, which is basically what emerges from like the Chazon Ish, right? Which is, no, eating, who cares? Just make sure you don't do business with it. But no, it really is valuable. In fact, it's the goal of Shemitah is to ensure that people can eat, that everybody can eat, right? It's just goals don't count as separate mitzvot because they permeate the ethos of the other mitzvot. But they're not themselves mitzvot, right? Again, but what I'm saying is that some of the Tamei HaMitzvot and some of the Halachot, I think, are in favor of this. And certain ones, not so much. So what I want to do is throw that as a testable hypothesis as we go through the Sugyot, right? Again, my feeling right now is that there's evidence in the Sugyot both ways, right? But I want to throw it out as at least a possibility. Let me just give you one example of something that I think works well. Okay? Can I give you an example of something I think works well? Remember we saw yesterday the pagan that it's usher to eat not ripe fruit because l'achla v'lo lehefsid. Right? So one way of that of saying is you're not allowed to destroy fruit and eating it when it's not ripe is destroying. But I think there's a much more, within this model, I think there's a much more plausible way of formulating that, and that is don't eat it before it's ready to eat because it's meant to be eaten, right? Exactly. Meaning the whole, if you say like what I'm saying, which is the purpose of these mitzvot is to get you to the point where you can eat it in a certain framework. So eating it too early is problematic, right? Now you can't really say here, well, it's like schora. You're treating it as merchandise. No, I'm eating it, right? But it's not really eating. Right? The second you say you can't eat it when it's not ripe, right? To me, that seems to indicate that there's an actual value in eating, right? Because you're saying to eat it in a not ideal way is not good. Well, doesn't that indicate a positive, right? Right? And at some level, I think that this explanation might work even a little bit better than Rav Buzner. Because according to Rav Buzner, you'd say, well, ensure that it's eaten. So now you'd say, well, ensure it's eaten properly, like when it's ripe. And then that's okay. I mean, sure, but I ate it, right? I mean, you've never eaten not ripe fruit. You've never had an unripe banana, right? I mean, like, right? But if you say, no, it's not just that the mitzvah is eaten. It's a mitzvah to eat, but not a mitzvah to eat. That the mitzvot of Shemitah are combined to create a value in eating, right? But eating is actually valuable. It may not be a mitzvah, but it's valuable. So then I think it gives me a better language, even without saying it's a mitzvah, to say not only can you not, right, use it as business, but you can't eat it at a place where, like, that's not the ideal type of eating, right? So if you look, for example, at the Maharit, look at the Maharit I gave you, right, on this halacha, right, number 6. He says, Kol sheino achshav ro'i la'achila lo karin be la'achla v'lo la'hefsed. Right, anything which is not yet edible, we call it la'achla v'lo. You can't eat it because la'achla v'lo la'hefsed. Dikra lo mayri elokshu ro'i la'achila. Because the psukim are talking about when they say eat, they mean eat that which is properly eaten. Right, v'hada in ochlin pagin kodim she'avchilu. Darshin v'sifrei, and that which we say, don't eat unripe fruit, for we learn the sifrei, tochlu et vota, eina na'achelet ad shetas et tvua. What's the drasha of the sifrei? The pasuk says, tochlu et tvuata, eat the tvua. And how does the sifrei take it? Don't eat it until you properly call it produce. right? And that's why you can't eat it raw. So it's not really just hefset, right? It's eat it as a fruit, right? To me, when you say, right? But he says, but listen, right? You could use it for other purposes. Like, let's say it's not ripe, but that's when you would normally do sicha, right? It's at, so then you'd be allowed to do it, right? But you couldn't eat it because it's not normally eaten then, right? I mean, that drasha of litvua, right? That wait for it to be tvua, that to me doesn't, it doesn't sound, right? Like, it's, to me it sounds stronger than Reb Vosner, right? It's not just make sure it's eaten. It's, no, it's tochlu et tvuata, right? That's the drasha he's quoting the Sifrei. Eat it as tvua. Eina nechel rashanasi tvua. It's not eaten until it is proper produce. Well, but if you want to say it's a, not a mitzvah, and yet it's valuable to the point where you have to eat it, but only in its an ideal state, right? So again, the language I'm suggesting is that it's the tama mitzvah, right? It's what the other mitzvahs are orienting you to, right? Is eating them properly in the proper context, in the proper way. So maybe it's not a ma'aseh mitzvah, right? But that, but it is, but the only reason it's not a ma'aseh mitzvah is because it's what explains the other mitzvah. So that's what I want to suggest. I think it does explain certain sugyot, right? Again, for me, that I think is one of the strongest ways of reading the sugya of pagan, right? Of why it's usher to eat not ripe fruit. Eating this. Right. I mean, we want to eat it when it's developed, right? And that, to me, that sounds very positive, right? But I want to stop short of saying, but you have to go out and eat, right? Like the mitzvah I say, you have to have a kezayit, right? So for me, the way of stopping short of that is saying it's a tama mitzvah, right? It animates the other mitzvah, right? It explains the other mitzvah. And therefore, it's not a mitzvah, but it's clearly very valuable. And therefore, you have to do it properly. So if you look at the... Look at 11 and 12 here. Right, the Rivash comments on it as well. It says, "Tshuva lo amru sha'achla per tefila l'pagei shviyit, v'apagin asur nad sheyegiu l'onad ha'maisro." Right, it's considered a pag, right, unripe until it reaches onad ha'maisro, right, the same time when you be chayvin maiser. Right. So what does he say? He says, but if you eat pagan, you don't get malkut midoraita. You only get malkut midorabam. Why? Because it doesn't have a lav miuchad. What does that mean? It's usur midoraisa. But you only get malkut if it's a lav miuchad, meaning it's a specific, don't do this. And what is he saying? To not eat ripe fruit, it's really asur midoraisa, but it's part of other mitzvah. Right? It's part of other mitzvah. So that's why I read that type of formulation I like, right? It's asur midoraisa, sort of. Right? But it's not his own love, right? Again, is that exactly what I'm saying? No, but I think at some level, right, he's saying it is midoraisa, but it's not quantifiable. It's a little bit different than what I'm saying. Now, it happens to be the Pesach Einayim says, no, the Pesach Einayim says you actually get real malkut, right? So eating it not ripe is actually an isur daraisa, like a quantifiable love. If that's the case, then what I'm saying, I think, is less plausible, right? Because it's, I don't know if it's less plausible, but you'd have to tweak it, right? If you say, no, the prohibition of eating it when it's not ripe, like a lav. I mean, okay, then you got to figure out the exact nature of it. Okay, so that I want to throw out as a hypothesis, which again, I think explains certain things on the sugya that are not explained in the other models, or explains it lidati better. I'm not convinced of it. I think there's evidence that's not as strong for it. Okay. So let's just summarize it. There is one more sheet I wanted to do, which is Yerucham Fishel Parla. So maybe I'll, but let's summarize what we've seen so far. So again, we noted that in the Psukim, you could plausibly argue that achila is not a mitzvah at all. Chazanish. You could argue that it's a positive mitzvah. It's very hard, but that's a Marad al-Ghazi, the Imei. The Ramban seems to really think it's a mitzvah, but not think it's an active mitzvah, because he thinks it's a mitzvah, but not, but it's, right, which is somehow connected to not schora, right? So Rav Buzner says, the Shevet HaLevi says, well, it's a mitzvah to ensure it's eaten. And what my suggestion to explain the Sugya Pagan is that, no, it's the Tam HaMitzvah. It's what the other mitzvah are aiming at, and therefore it's very valuable to eat it in the proper way as full fruit, right? When it's already called Tvua, right? And not like some half-hearted, right, unripe way, but it's not a mitzvah because, right, we don't count things that are the reason behind many other mitzvot, right? Or a mitzvah. It's the Tam. It's just not the mitzvah itself, right? So it's very valuable, right? And we treat it very seriously, right? And ensure that you eat it in the proper way, but it's still not a mitzvah. Last sheet up. I see that Rice Clark said he's doing it Zoom at 12:15, so I don't have to rush. That's what he just sent. So I'm not rushing, so I'm going to get this idea out. It takes me five more minutes. So one more possibility, right? And this was, who said it? I think Ellie said it, right? Ellie, who said that maybe eating is not a function of, it's not a mitzvah itself, it's a function of what? Right, so far we've said either it's not a mitzvah at all, it's a mitzvah, it's a tamah mitzvah, it's a function of hefker, right, for the chazon ish, right? But there's another possibility. I think with Deli, maybe it was someone else, right? Which is, come on, what else? What other possibility is there? Maybe Zach said it also. That it's a function of what? So all of that we've been saying is focusing on what? I don't want to miss this. One second. Can you wait? I know. Right? It's a function, right? We've been assuming it's a function of what? I know. Can you wait? You can't wait. Okay. So go. Whatever. So what is it? Right? But what else is there? There's one thing left, right? If it's not its own mitzvah, right? But it's a function of another mitzvah. So far we've been assuming that it's a function of maybe hefker. There's another possibility. Which mitzvah she is?
Not playing the land of the cow.
Meaning?
Not working the land.
Not working the land. Oh, you'll say, how is it a function of not working the land? So this is Ruchem Fischer Prola and his parish on the Rasag is the last source, which for some reason I didn't number, but it's the last source. So you should be able to find it, right? He says, right, he's going back on the question of Pagin, right? And he says, you don't get, right? He's dealing with the question of Malkos. Let's look at the second paragraph, okay? Just because we're running out of time. He says, V'lochein ha'yanira li lomar bazeh. D'le'daz Rabbeinu Hagaon Zal. Says, according to the way he understands Rasag Hagaon, saying, eat it and don't do business. It's not a lav. It's not a lav about a normal lav about michal asay either. What? Is that
it's using the land for a function of work.
Yes. Right. So he says, elokai alav lo tiktsor velo tiktsor. Saying, no. It's don't plant, don't plow, don't prune, right? It says Lomar, Dlo Amartin Chalotik Velotiv Sor Elalishora. It's qualifying the work. What it's saying is there's not a separate prohibition to use it as merchandise. What's the real issur?
The real issur is doing agricultural.
Is to do agricultural work. And he says, well, what makes it work and not
work?
Right? So he says it's not just
it's
plowing.
It's for the purpose of using
exactly. Energy, right?
Which is a great answer, but raises the
line. Right. So therefore he says, if you plow and then sell, so then retroactively what does it do to your ksira? Right? Or you're plowing harvesting.
It makes it
a work-like harvesting because you're using it for business. Right? So he says, l'shargvaram el achla mutter. But if I'm just doing it to eat, right? So it's as if that's like, I don't know. It's non-commercial. There we go. It's non-commercial, but not non-commercial selling. It's right. It's non-commercial harvesting, right? It's that the nature of the Isser Shemitah is don't harvest, don't work the land in a way that expresses a commercial orientation, right? That expresses ownership. And he says, "Kamosha peres ha'kra." So what does it mean when it says to eat? Now going back to the psukim, how does he mean the psukim? Even though I forbade it, I didn't forbid you to eat it or benefit. What does Rashi say? Don't work it in a way that shows ownership. Remember I said?
So it's like plowing or watering. That expresses ownership over the land.
But only if you're doing it in a way that then you're doing going to sell, but if you're going to eat it just like everybody else.
No. But can I have like a question? Like, it still doesn't make sense because it still tells you not to plow.
Exactly.
But the act of plowing, the act of watering over land, so it's like, I know this.
Exactly. And therefore he says, it's not really usher to work the land. It's an usher to work the land in a way that expresses ownership, which is working it in a way that you're going to use it as merchandise, as commodities. But if you're working it just to eat privately, just like everybody else, right? So therefore, he says the mitzvah to eat, or the value of eating as opposed to schora, right? It's a function of the way I relate to it when I work the land. Exactly.
Got it?
Good.
Let's go ahead, guys.